Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time tonight. Thank you, Lord, you have gathered all of us here this evening. Lord, we believe that you are sovereign over all things. Lord, everyone who is here to receive something from you. Oh, something you purposed in your heart in eternity past. Oh, Lord, day by day at this camp, we believe you're pouring forth. Oh, the golden oil into each one of us. Lord, flow tonight. Flow into each one of these young people. Lord, deposit yourself deep within. Oh, a rich treasure. Lord, as you are building your church. Oh, your heart's greatest desire. Oh, Lord, get what you're after. Get what you're after with us. We just give you tonight our best cooperation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We could keep calling. You know, it's something. Tonight, I don't know if anyone, I think you've all realized it's hot in here tonight. Right? So I see the fans going, as Brother Dennis said. We're getting a little taste of the olden days, right? Tonight we're fellowshipping from the Scripture, and we're fellowshipping something that is on God's heart.
Amen.
And it has been on His heart for a long time, right? On the eve of all creation, He mused, right? He mused, He considered carefully with longing and anticipation of what it was deep in God's heart. God had a good pleasure. You know, God is triune. He's ever-existing, self-existing. He doesn't need anything. Yet, He had a desire. Something in His heart that He wanted, that made Him happy. Yes. Right? I think there's something that makes you happy, your good pleasure. And God is the same, and He had a good pleasure. And so there He was, about ready for the whole universe to spill out in creation the next morning. And He's thinking, the church, I'm going to get my counterpart, my bride, to match me. Right? It's wonderful. That's the church. That's what we're covering here. I mean, it's the highest topic in the whole universe. So anyways, the brothers have been sharing in such a rich way concerning so many points. But I just have to take a moment to take stock in what the Lord is doing and our participation in that. You know, it's one thing that God had a great purpose, but you know what's really amazing? Is that you and I can have a part in that.
Amen.
Really? Like, how did that happen? But anyway, that was God's good pleasure. Okay, so first of all, I'd like to just do by way of sort of recap, kind of run through some of the points that I know have been you've all enjoyed, and I heard some of them shared this morning. First of all, that we are members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Would all the members please say, amen. Let's hear it again. Ready? Amen. All right, all the members, right? And someone pointed out, we're not cells. It's not like, hey, if I lose a cell, no big deal. I got another one. I got lots of them. I've got, I don't know how many. Someone could tell me who knows the science of the human body, but a lot of them. A lot of cells. But unlike cells, members are indispensable. When you lose a member, you don't get it back. Right? And so sometimes you may be tempted. Well, there's how many people in this meeting? 400? 380. 380 brothers and sisters. You might think, what would be the difference if there was only 379? Would anybody notice? Yes, the Lord would notice. But anyways, the meeting wouldn't be the same. But think of it this way. Could I go on without my little finger? You know, I could, but not as well. I could go on without my little finger, but not as well. What if I was missing two or three fingers? Could I go on? Could I get by? Could I drive to work? Yes. But what if I play a musical instrument? Getting harder. Getting harder. Sometimes you have a person, I'll give you a name, you can Google later, man by the name of Django Reinhardt. He's a jazz musician, burned in a fire as a child, is left with just a couple fingers, but he went on to become one of the greatest jazz guitar players. He made do. Somehow he made do, and he performed a masterpiece as a musician. When I was little, in our living room, we had a piece of art on our living room wall, and it was a pencil sketch. There was a young man I met today from Nutley who does sketch drawings. Where are you? From Nutley. Okay, what was your name again?
Manuel.
Okay, Manuel. Manuel, you sketch, right? You use your hands, right? Do you use all your fingers to do that? Okay, that's excellent. He uses all of the members on his hand to sketch that drawing. So the drawing that was in our living room was a sketch of a person's face, a woman's face. It's very lovely, very tasteful, very nice. The person who sketched that didn't have any fingers to sketch it with. Didn't have any hands, and also didn't have any toes either. How do you think that that person could sketch that drawing? Right? They use their teeth. You can imagine. I can't even illustrate. Because there was a master who desired to express themselves, and they made do because they didn't have the members to carry out the masterpiece. Consider for one moment. I mean, it was an impressive drawing. It really was. But consider for a moment if they'd had their full faculty. Right? It's incredible. So we should never devalue ourselves. Never underestimate yourself or any other brother or sister. If they are a member of the body of Christ, they are indispensable for God's purpose. Can we get along? You get my point. Not in fullness. Not in the way that our Lord desires to be expressed through the church. Okay, I'm going to move more quickly now. How about the statuses of the church? What's the first status? Okay, I think I heard it. Ecclesia, the called out ones. Right? Ecclesia. Okay, so the called out ones. It's the first status. Is it less important than any of the statuses after? What do you think? Is it as important as the one new man? Not as important? Or it is as important? It is. I heard an is over here. Right? Okay, so these statuses, it's maybe the most fundamental status, right? That the church is the called out ones. That's very fundamental. That's what the church is. We got called out, saved by the Lord, and we gather together unto Him. So this status is fundamental. But I would say this, we should not look past it and say, oh, I'm not really that interested in being called out. I'm more interested in the one new man. I'm more interested in the counterpart. Why? Because we can't get to those later statuses, of those developed statuses, without experiencing and being in the reality of the called out ones, right? You know, I'll just tell a very brief story. I used to play Frisbee. Some of you know that. I like Frisbee, okay? I admit it, okay? I like Frisbee. And I used to play a lot. I still like it, but I never play. So if I tell you, hey, I play Frisbee, you're like, really? I never see you play, right? There's no reality to what I'm saying, that I play Frisbee. I used to play, but today I don't. You get my point? So the gathering together of the saints, being called out unto Him, is a very practical matter, and it's how we can participate in the church today. Now, I'm going to go to the next one here very quickly. The masterpiece. So I already talked about someone's masterpiece and how they were, you know, they effectuated that with a challenge, right? Consider this for a moment. We are God's masterpiece. If you're going to work a masterpiece, you usually use the finest materials, right? Like, Timothy, if you were going to create your masterpiece, I'm not sure what medium it would be, but you would probably use the best materials, right? Okay. Now, consider if you're an architect and you're building a great tall building. you would probably use the strongest and lightest materials you could in order to make sure that the building can stand up to that height, correct? Okay, consider for one moment. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it tells us we're his masterpiece. But do you know what it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1? That we were high strength, lightweight materials for God's building? No! We were dead in our sins and offenses. I mean, you read the first four verses, it's discouraging. That is us before we got saved. And that is the material that God uses for his masterpiece. Because he's not done with the raw materials. He's just getting started. Our God is a wonderful Savior, right? He's just getting started, right? So we all enjoyed that point the brothers shared. He shared a new acronym with us right here. If you've never seen that before, it's not a new acronym. It's an old acronym, but it means a work in progress, right? We are a work in progress as God's masterpiece. And the completion of it will tell forth to all the universe how wise and wonderful our God is.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so I got to move along. Corporate universal new man, right? Where we take him as our person. A counterpart of Christ, where we have his life, right? Where we're out of him and we're one with him. We'll come back to that in just a moment. And then we come to this matter of the golden lampstand, which our brother worked his masterpiece up here. The junior hires didn't see this, but our brother said, this is his masterpiece, the golden lampstand, right? And so we enjoyed that the golden lampstand is made out of how many talents of gold? Exactly. Not 1.2, right? Not 1.5. Sometimes the Bible uses measures like 1.5, but not with the lampstand. One, because we have one God, right? And the material of the lampstand is what?
Gold,
exactly. Why gold? I hear some things. I think our brother shared with us that the gold represents God's divine nature. And it's pure gold. You know, the thing about gold is, who's taking chemistry on this side? You taking chemistry? No? Are there any people? Oh, here's a chemistry student. Okay, what happens to pure gold if you burn it? It melts. And then what do you get? You get pure gold. Because pure gold has been refined, right? It's already, all the stuff has been burned off. And what you're left with is just gold.
Amen.
So this is just God, right? And then our brother pointed out that the lampstand was beaten into a shape, right? That shape is the image, right? Before you have the shape and the express, there's no expression. You just have a lump of gold. Right, God the Father. Has anyone seen the Father? No one has seen the Father, right? But then Christ is the image of the invisible God. He's the shape, okay? And then, of course, the Spirit is there as the oil, and there's the lamps, right, shining in a dark age. I wanted to just take one moment here to say that, this matter of the lampstand, it comes up in the Scriptures. Our brother pointed out first in Exodus 25, which is the tabernacle. That's God's building. So we see the lampstand. And then we see it again, as he pointed out, later on. Actually, we see it next in Kings, 1 Kings chapter 7, where we see the furnishing of the temple and the need for the lampstand. But then we see it in Zechariah. And here, what are they doing in chapter 4 of Zechariah? They are rebuilding the temple. And there we see the matter of the seven eyes of Jehovah, the seven spirits of God, which are on the stone, right? The stone is for the building. And the Lord says he'll redeem the people in one day and remove their iniquity in one day. That's Christ. When you come to Revelation, that stone is a lamb with seven eyes, right? And he is building the church, right? In this age. What I want to say is this. It's no coincidence that tonight there's no air conditioning. It's no coincidence that it's hot in this room. Satan would do many things to try to disrupt the Lord's purpose. And we're going to see in a moment from a verse in Matthew chapter 16 that the whole gates of Hades are opened wide to attack the church. And we'll see that in just a moment. But I just want to point out that no matter what the foe can do, all he can do is release the flow.
Amen.
Right? Because we have a victorious Savior. He's not only saving us, he's also conquering his enemy. And he does this through the building, through the church. Okay, so I think I've shared that burden. Now, I would like to come to the outline. Let's all turn to Matthew chapter 16. And before we start reading verse 16, I just want to tee it up with verse 15. So go ahead and turn there. Is this mine? It's mine. Okay, we're going to look at some verses, so keep your Bibles handy. I strongly recommend it. Okay. Okay, so while you're turning there, I'm just going to give you a little backdrop. The Lord Jesus is with his disciples, and he brings them to Caesarea Philippi, and he asks them a question. Who do men say that I am? It's a good question. So they say, some John the Baptist, right? Some Elijah. So they give some answers. Then the Lord asks them a very pointed question. Who do you say that I am? Right? He asks his disciples. And Peter has a response. So let's go ahead and read verse 16 together. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Okay, now let's read 17 and 18 together. Has not revealed this to you, my Father who is in the heavens. I also say to you that you are Peter. What time did I start? What time did I start?
I don't know.
About 10 minutes ago?
No, 15.
Hallelujah. So Simon realized, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord pointed out to him, you're blessed. And you didn't figure it out on your own. The Father revealed it to you. So, the Lord then turns to him and says, I also say to you, right? I also say to you that you are Peter, right? And upon this rock, I will build my church. Simon got a name change. He went from being a reed in the wind to being a stone for God's building. That's a transformation. Not only so, the Lord used the word for the first time in the scriptures. I will build my
church.
And the disciples said, What'd he say? His church? Right? They'd never heard this word before. At least in the scriptures, it's not revealed to this point. So the Lord is going to build his church. And now we start to see what's on God's heart. So this church that the Lord is building, you'll notice it's in the singular tense. How many churches are there?
One.
Only one? Is that right? How many churches are there?
One.
Okay. In a few minutes, we're going to see how there are churches, right? There's the church of God, which is in Corinth, but then there are the churches of God. So anyway, we'll see that in just a minute. And I guess at this point, we can just quickly read through the title of this message. The two aspects of the church, universal and local. You know, it's so good. The ministry is so simple. It makes something that was confusing for many people, and even to this day, makes it so simple. That there are two aspects to this church that the Lord is building. On the one hand, it's universal, right? On the other hand, it is local. So in this verse we just read, the Lord is speaking of building his church. Right? And we saw this verse that the gates of Hades will not prevail. The gates of Hades will try. That's why we had a power outage. That's why it's hot in here, right? But listen, we're not wimpy, right? I mean, come on. It's not that big a deal. It's not like our lives are, you know, at risk or anything like that. But Satan would do whatever he could to distract us and try to get your attention away from what the brothers, myself and the other brothers, are going to share tonight, which is that the Lord is building his church.
Amen.
So let's read Romans 1 together. Amen. Okay, so I think we've covered that point. Now let's come to Romans 2. Universal church, expressed in many places on earth, becomes many local churches. The expression of the church in a locality is a local church. Amen. So, on the one hand, we have the great universal church. But that church is universal. We're all part of it. But how do you reach it? How do you get to it? How do you contact it? Right? I mean, let's say it's the Lord's Day. How do you contact the universal church? Right, Dan? You go to the Lord's Day meeting. That's the church in a place. We don't want to get too much tonight because I think the brothers are going to share more tomorrow about the ground of the church and some deeper facets. So we don't want to go too far into that. But the point is, the universal church, in a sense, is impractical. Okay, now, let's read Matthew chapter 18, verse 16, and we'll see what happens when you have a problem with someone in the church, someone around you. Okay, let's turn to that chapter and read that together. Let's start with verse 15.
Moreover, 15.
Moreover, if your brother sins against you and you reprove him, amen. 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 So, if you've got a problem, where do you take it? Right? You take it to the church. That is the local church. Right? That's the brothers. Right? Like you said, you go to the meeting. You know, if you want to find the Lord, where do you find him? You find him in the members of his body in the meeting, right? Now, of course, the universal church that Christ is building is not, you know, it traverses time. It's the whole earth, right, at the same time. He's the Lord. He's omnipotent and omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. Okay, but we're not. Right? We're somewhere at a point in time. We are wherever we are at that point in time. I'm right here, right now. So then, if I have a problem, who do I go to? I go to the church, wherever I am. And right now, where I am is Rosendale, I guess. There's a church in Rosendale. Oh, praise the Lord! There's a church in Rosendale. I can bring my problem to the church. Right, I can have that fellowship concerning this person who wronged me, which makes the church very practical. Now, I want to just quickly circle back on the matter of the ecclesia. If we don't get out of our houses and gather together as the church, there is no meeting. If there's no meeting and gathering of the church, there's no expression. If there's no expression, right, how can God have his purpose? So it's very fundamental, this matter of gathering together and meeting with the local church, right? The local church is the one that we're in, right? Right now I'm here in Rosendale. I normally live in New York City. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Roger Fisk. I'm a brother, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen, in New York City. But anyways, now I'm in Rosendale, praise the Lord. And Brother Ivanhoe was in San Juan yesterday.
Yes.
Where did you meet, brother?
In the church in San Juan.
Amen! Right? He had fellowship with the church in San Juan because that's where he was. It's very practical. Okay. So now let's just move on to point three, where we come to the nature and principle of the universal church. Okay, let's read that together. Amen. So, the local church is a representative of the universal church, right? So they look like each other. In fact, they should look like each other. Of course, the local church is not the fullness, right? No local church is the fullness of Christ. But all the churches together are. And the Lord's working on us, right? We're a work in progress. So the Lord is bringing us unto all the fullness, right? We're growing up into Him in all things. Okay. But it may be that you're in your local church and maybe it's not that living. Maybe the saints aren't exercised enough. But still, it's a local church. And the Lord is working on us. So I just hope that, you know, in your church, you wouldn't think, you know, you wouldn't have any, I don't know, disappointment. Oh, that other church, they got all the good saints. My church, not so many good saints there. You know, we shouldn't think like that. We should love our local church.
Amen.
Right? In Ephesians, it says, brothers, love your wives. Right?
Amen.
You need to love your wife. Right? Because that's who the Lord put us with.
Amen.
And so our local church is where the Lord has us. And we just need to join ourselves with the Lord for His purpose and just be one with the saints. That is how the Lord will get His purpose. Okay, and all these points here, the church being heavenly, the house of God, the body of Christ, and the expression of God, all these things, the church is reflecting, right, the universal church. And, you know, one of the points, one of the illustrations that we thought we should share very briefly is this matter of the moon. You know, sometimes Christians will ask you, they'll say, all right, what church do you go to? What church do you go to? Anyone ever ask you that question? They did? What did you tell them?
Church in New York City.
Oh! Okay. If you think about the question, it's kind of a funny question. What church do you go to? Well, that's like asking, since there's only one church, what moon do you walk under? Well, I walk under the moon, because there's only one, and it's probably the same moon you're walking under. In fact, I know it is. Right? That is this picture of the moon. The moon can be seen anywhere on the earth. And, you know, in the Bible, the moon typifies the church. Sometimes it's bright and shining like this. Full moon, right? Sometimes it's not a full moon, right? Sometimes it is, what are the names? I forget. Crescent moon? Waning gibbous? Which are... Oh, wow. I don't even know what those mean, but I know their terms for the moon, yes. Okay, we got some phases of the moon. But the point is the moon, like the church, sometimes is bright, shining, reflecting the sun, reflecting the Savior. But sometimes the church passes through a period. It may not be that bright. It might be dim. But don't worry. It's not over yet. The Lord will bring the church through.
Amen.
He will make the church a bright, shining testimony, just like our brothers shared this morning about the light in the dark age. Okay, I'm going to hand it over to Brother Ivanhoe, and he's going to pick it up. But I just want to leave us all with this point. We must, in order to participate in what God is doing, we must overcome to gather together with the saints. Right? We have to overcome our bed covers sometimes. They're holding us down like a powerful force. Don't get out of bed, right? My son... I shouldn't say that. My son, sometimes it's hard for him to get out of bed in the morning. Say, son, get up. Right? Sometimes we got to overcome that video game. We're on level two. On level two, I'm going to level three, Mom. Just hang tight. I'm on to level four in just a few minutes here. I'm almost ready. Right? And the inside is that sense. maybe now's the time to shut it off, right? And we have to overcome. We have to be one with the Lord to that voice within us, which is calling us on. And overcoming looks different for different people in different churches at different times. Tonight, you know what we have to overcome?
The heat.
The heat, exactly. You might be in a locality where they have to overcome a washed-out bridge to gather together. There may be some localities where they have to meet in secret so the government doesn't know they're meeting, right? The church in Smyrna, they were put to death for their belief in the Lord. So overcoming takes different shapes, but it all requires the same thing, that we just enjoy the source of the Lord, the grace, and cooperate with Him, and then come to the meetings and join the saints. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Okay. Amen. Brotherly love. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Tonight, if you're an overcomer, say amen.
Amen.
There's no heat in this room. Amen.
Amen.
We're with the Lord.
Amen.
Enjoying the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Turn with me to song number 9 in your booklet. We're not going to sing. I just want you to look at it. Maybe I'll sing. Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. So God has called us for His purpose. His economy is so glorious, for this is fully processed. Consummated now is He. As the Spirit, He indwells us as our God-allotted portion, working out His full salvation, making us the same as He is. That's just verse 1. Where do you think that happens? Okay, you don't know the answer yet because I haven't told you. In Matthew 18, the Lord is talking about a church that the disciples can go to. How do we know that? Because it says, go with 2 or 3 and tell it to the church, right? So the Lord anticipated that we would be living the church life, and that's how He would be building us. How do we know this? Because of our dear brother Peter. A few verses after that, he said, well, Lord, how many times do I really have to forgive my brother? Up to 70 times? So Peter understood what the Lord was saying in that there is a local aspect to the church that the Lord is building. And he said immediately after that, no. 70 times 7. 70 times 7.
Wow.
So, the building that the Lord is carrying out, the building of the universal church, the universal body of Christ, for which He gave everything, everything. He paid the ultimate price, right? In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, He gave Him for the joy set before Him, right? He gave Himself up for the joy set before Him. The church is a joy. I'll tell you a quick story. And Brother Mark reminded me of this. I don't know if he's here. But he reminded me of this when he was talking about courting his wife. When I was courting my wife, in a snowstorm, I didn't have a 4x4. I didn't have a four-wheel drive vehicle. In a snowstorm, I drove from Rahway, New Jersey to Cambridge, Massachusetts overnight just so that I could spend time with her. Yeah, I was dumb and I was crazy in love. But that's the point. I was in love and I wanted to see her. And to me, that was not a deep price. That was a small thing. My friends all made fun of me. Wow, you're really in love. I'm like, yeah, I kind of am. But consider how much more the Lord loves the church. He loved the church so much that He gave everything, His soul life, His life, everything for the church. This is His joy, His preciousness. And you know what He did? He called you, He saved you, and he added you to the church. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's wonderful. So it's not a small thing that we are members of a church, right? This is, we're members of the universal church, but this church, this universal church needs a local expression. It needs to be tangible. It needs to be practicable, right? We had a dear brother in New York that used to say that. It has to be practicable. It means it can be practiced. It can be done. It can be something that people say, that people can see, and that people can experience and enjoy. I asked some of the young people in my group, the ninth graders, if you wanted to find me, if you wanted to send me a letter, where would you send it? Send it to my house. Well, today, when people want to find God, they go to the church. And you know what church they go to? They go to the church in your city. They go to the church in your city. The same one where you meet. That is the expression of God, regardless of the condition, regardless of who's there, who you like, who you don't like, who likes you. It doesn't matter. I'll give you an example. This verse, 1 Corinthians 1:2. Paul begins this letter to the Corinthians saying, to the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, the called saints, with all those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in every place, who is theirs and ours. You know what was going on in Corinth? I'll give you one example. The Lord says we should forgive one another and bring our problems to the church. You know what they chose to do? They chose to sue one another. When they had problems, they would take each other to court. They wouldn't take it to the church. They would take each other to court. That's just one thing that was happening in Corinth. But Paul didn't say, well, I don't know about you Corinthians and whether or not you're the church of God. That's not what he wrote. He wrote, to the church of God, which is in Corinth. So regardless of the condition of your local church, you need to love your local church. You need to enjoy the saints in the local church. And you need to be one of those who are burning, Because you know what? If you're burning, everybody else will be burning. Because burning is contagious. Amen? Didn't you enjoy Brother Roger sharing? That's because he was on fire. I was on fire because of him. Praise the Lord. So, in Roman numeral 5, it says the local church is the universal church in practicality. That means the universal church is abstract. You know what abstract means? It means it's a conceptual thought which does not have a material manifestation. That's the universal church. But the local church makes the universal church practicable. It's the universal church in practicality, because the local church is the reality of the universal church. The universal church is abstract. The local church is real and tangible. Again, it is a church that you can go to. Without the local church, and in fact, there are many that don't have this vision of the universal church and the local church. So in their mind, it doesn't matter what church I go to, because the universal church, in the next message we'll see why that's not accurate and not according to the Bible. But I'll share an experience with you, and it's related to point C. So how about the brothers read point A under Roman numeral 5? Go. Good. So when you're singing, God has called us for his purpose, that happens in your locality. If you don't show up, if you are not enjoying the church life in the city where you live, that's just a song. Right? In order for God to have his purpose carried out in you, you need to be living, active, participating members of your local church. Amen. Amen. How about sisters? Point B. And I'll read point C. The believer's corporate life and service in coordination are realized in the local churches. And the reference there is 1 Timothy 3:15, where Paul says to Timothy, "But if I delay, I write to you that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and base of the truth."
Amen.
Amen. And I'll tell you, when I first came into the church life some time ago, I had an experience where it's so difficult to be rebellious. I don't know how you guys do it. It takes so much energy to be rebellious. But I decided that I wasn't going to go to the meetings anymore, that I wasn't going to call any of the saints anymore, that I wasn't going to take any calls from the saints anymore. I was just going to sit at home and read my Bible, and I wasn't even going to read the footnotes because I didn't like the footnotes either. There. So I started doing that, and I got to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. And I said, why is this here? I don't know why it's here. And the footnotes were yelling out at me. You should read the footnotes. Footnotes are there. You should read them. But I refused, of course, because I was rebellious and spending all this energy. And I said, Lord, I need you to show me. I need you to reveal this to me because I'm not going back. And you know what the Lord said? I'm not going to reveal it to you until you go back. So there I was trying to be built by myself apart from the local church. And because the local church is the pillar and base of the truth, the church universally and locally is the pillar and base of the truth, I was not going to get a clear revelation of the truth until I went back. That was a number of years ago. I'm here now. Praise the Lord. The Lord had mercy on me, and he allowed me to see this. And then when I came back, there were brothers like Roger there and William, who's in the back, and they shepherded me, and here I am today talking to you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So if you want to be built, if you are impressed with God's view of the church, if you're impressed with the Lord's appreciation and love for the church, then you have to be in a local church because this is where the building happens, right? And Christ said, I will build my church. And from the time he said that, even until today, he is building his church. And he's building it with the materials. Amen. Notice I didn't say the best material. He's building it with the materials. Myself included, right? We're all a work in progress, and the Lord has a lot to do in us still. But in God's view, we are his masterpiece. Praise the Lord. Okay. And lastly, we come to Roman numeral 6. In the proper church life, the administration of the church is local, but the fellowship of the church is universal. This may seem a little confusing, right? So I'll give you a few facts, and then I'll share a story that someone else shared with me. This means that in a particular church, there's only one eldership. It could be more than one elder, but there's only one eldership. And that eldership is for that city. That eldership is for that church, right? So the elders in the church in New York City have fellowship with the elders in the church in Rosendale, but the church in New York City is not in charge or rule over the church in Rosendale. You get it? Maybe not. Okay, let's try one more example. As Brother Roger mentioned, I was in Puerto Rico, and I met with the church in San Juan. That meant that I was, because I was there, I was under the covering, the protection, the blessing of the church in San Juan, which means that my church life was in San Juan. My offering went to the church in San Juan because that's where I was, right? If I had a problem while I was there, I would have to fellowship with the elders there first. I didn't, praise the Lord. Chances are they would say, let's contact the brothers from the church in New York City. But I would have to start there because that's where I am. The administration of the church is local and it doesn't cross cities. There are certain situations, of course, we heard certain situations. The city never changes. Cities hardly ever change. There have been a few examples where the city actually changes. So the city remains one and the church remains one in that city. Therefore, the administration, the eldership, the services, the ushering service, for example, remains local. All right, we were reading something some time ago, but I won't get into that right now. The story I wanted to share with you was related to the universal fellowship. Just like the administration is local, the fellowship has to be universal. And this was a brother once heard through the ministry, found out that there was a church in Addis Ababa, which is in Ethiopia, Africa. And they had the ministry, right? So in point B, it says the fellowship of the church is one universally. This universal fellowship is the fellowship of the body of Christ. It is the fellowship passed on to us by the apostles. So the fellowship between, in addition to the local administration, there has to be fellowship universally with all the churches. Now, here's where this is interesting. These saints, these dear saints, were reading the ministry. They were reading the same books that we have, they were reading. And they were enjoying. And they were endeavoring to practice this. They were endeavoring to practice this. So they had the local administration. They had the enjoyment of the Lord. But what they did not have, because they did not know, they didn't have the universal fellowship in the body. So they thought they were in Addis Ababa enjoying the Lord on the ground of locality, and they thought they were the only ones. So some brothers went, visited them, and began the fellowship, began the flow of the fellowship between the churches. They were so happy. I don't know if you've heard, but the church in Addis Ababa is flourishing, and it's awesome. They are praying for a meeting hall, so pray for them when you remember. And they're going to have an elders training coming up pretty soon, so pray for that as well. But it's awesome, and it came out of the Spirit moving in some to build them up, and then they entered into the universal fellowship. Amen. So I believe that is my time. Because of the fact that there's no light, we want to let you all go before it gets too dark. But here's the key. Here's the key, the one thing to remember. If you go away and you don't remember anything that I said or anything that Brother Roger said, remember, the church is one universally but has a local expression, and you need to love your local church. Amen. Just like the Lord loves the church, you need to love the Lord back by loving your local church. Amen. The building, the growth, the enjoyment all takes place locally in the church where you meet. Amen? Amen. 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 Brothers... Osmar and Jason. And I think we'll bring up the mics for them as well. Amen.
Well, in the meantime, we call on the name of the Lord three times.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. This is such a word about the church. Both brothers emphasize a verse in the Bible that is on your page 11 of this booklet. And that is Matthew 16, 18. That reads, can we read it together? And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In the back of the shirt that you're going to use for the Summer School of Truth, the blue one that some of you are already using, in the back of it says, part B of this verse, it says, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So this is like the verse of this Summer School of Truth, because the greatest prophecy in the entire Bible is revealed in this verse. And that is that Christ will build the church. All these wonderful statuses we have been learning, God will obtain the reality of them in you and me. At the end of this lesson, in your lesson book, you don't have to open, I'm going to read it for you. This is lesson 7. There's a conclusion. I'm going to read just a line of it. It says, concerning this lesson, after seeing the two aspects of the church, we should give ourselves daily to live in a local church in order to build up the universal church. So this greatest prophecy in the Bible, that Christ will build the church, this has to do a lot with our participation in a way that we will live the church life in whatever locality we're in the city that we're in, that we will live the church life, meaning you show up to the meetings, meaning you function in the meetings. Oh, you're not just going to a meeting. Christ is building his church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But this is not only the greatest prophecy in the Bible. This is also the greatest promise in the Bible, because it tells us that something will be in opposition to that. And that is the gates of Hades. The verse says that the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. It doesn't mean they will not try. It actually says so because they will try. And we are experiencing that right now, that in this very message we have this situation with the AC. But we know, and the following verse after verse 18 tells us, that I will give you the keys of the kingdom of the heavens, and whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in the heavens, and whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in the heavens. Such an authority to bound and to loose has not been given to individual believers, but to the church.
Amen.
That's why we have to come together to build up each other, that Christ will obtain his builded church. Hallelujah, we are hearing such a word, that we will respond this way, that when we will go back to our localities, we know that Christ's desire of building his church depends upon whether or not we participate in it. in the local church. Praise the Lord.
So in this message, in this lesson, we see two aspects. We see the universal aspect and the local aspect. And so in the past couple days, we've seen that the Lord Jesus is building the church.
Amen.
And this church is a universal church. But how does that building happen today? That happens in the local churches.
Amen.
The universal church is, it's something heavenly. In a sense, the brother mentioned that it was impractical. So where is the practicality of the universal church?
Amen.
It's in the local churches.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul refers to the Corinthian believers, the church in Corinth, as the farm of God. So in the church, in the local churches, what we are to the Lord is a farm where the Lord can sow and He can water and He can cause the growth.
Amen.
And so if you really want to experience growing in the Lord, being watered by the Lord, you need to be in the church.
Amen.
In Psalm 133, it says that there is oil dripping upon the beard of Aaron. And where is that? That's in the local church.
Amen.
So if you want to experience the Lord as the sweet oil dripping upon you, painting you, you need to be in the local churches.
Amen.
The churches, the local churches should become our home. So we need to mature in the Christian life. In 1 Peter 2:2, Peter says that we're newborn babes. And in 5:8, he says that there's a lion, that the adversary is coming to, looking for someone to eat up. And so in Matthew 16, it says that the gates of Hades will not prevail against the builded church, right? And so the Satan is looking for someone to eat. And so if you want to overcome this lion, you got to get into the church.
Amen.
And where's the church? It's the local church.
Amen.
Wherever you're from, that's the church that the Lord puts you in.
Amen.
In Ephesians 4:14, it says that we would no longer be little children tossed about by waves and winds of teaching. So if you're tired of being tossed around, being carried away, you need to get yourself into the local church.
Amen.
So it says, the church is like our home. And so when we find the local church, we should fall in love with our church life.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we may feel that when we leave the conferences and summer school of truth, that we're like orphans and we're wandering through the world when we go out to school and you come home and you still feel like you're wandering. Well, why is that? Well, for me, I realized I wasn't in the local church life. So I needed to get into the church life.
Amen.
So in college, I entered the church life. Every day, I was meeting with the saints, and I just felt like I was home. So right now, I'm living with my uncle, and it's not really my house. And so I don't really feel at home. But when I go to the saints' homes, I feel like I'm at home. And then the last point in the outline, it says that the fellowship is universal. So actually, wherever we are, that locality is our local church, and that local church is our home.
Amen.
I road trip across the country, and everywhere I went, I just felt like I was at home.
Amen.
I went to Arkansas. Do you guys know where Arkansas is? It's right above Alabama, okay? No, right next to Alabama. Okay, I was in Arkansas for about a week, and I just felt like I was at home.
Amen.
I went to Georgia. I was there for a week. I felt like I was at home.
Amen.
And I was in the full-time training. I was in Fullerton for 2 years. I didn't feel like I left home.
Amen.
And then, so wherever we are, that local church should become our home. And I hope that Amen. We would have a new appreciation for the church life in the localities that the Lord has placed us in or wherever we are. The Lord's universal church is being built up in the local churches. And in order for that to happen, we need to fall in love with the local churches.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's close by singing verse 1 in the chorus of 1107. 1107.